Violence, corruption, drugs and death. These are four of the pervading elements of best-selling Australian author Russi Young's new novel, Colombiana. Inspired by 7 years in Colombia, Colombiana blends fact and fiction into a story about a Colombian teenager who becomes a child soldier. Author Russi Young joins me now to tell us more about this fascinating book and his time in Colombia. Good morning, Russi.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on your program.
Thanks for coming on, Russi. Now, first off, what drew you to Colombia?
I'd actually just written my book, Marching Powder. I'd been staying voluntarily in a prison for 4 months, and I needed a job. And so I started working as an English teacher, and Colombia obviously had a very bad reputation. You know, people, when they hear headlines about Colombia, it's usually about cocaine, kidnapping, and the decades-long civil war. But I absolutely loved it. I thought it was amazing, really friendly people, great landscapes, culture, and I loved the language. So that was what initially drew me there. And then one time when I'd come back to Australia to visit and I was travelling back into Bogota, which is the capital, I met a guy on a plane and he looked very suspicious and I asked him what he did. He claimed to be in construction. I didn't believe him because there wasn't much construction going on at the time. The economy was quite depressed and he ended up offering me a job working in the US government. So I worked in counterterrorism for 4 years.
So were you just not quite ready to give away this theme? Because obviously, like you mentioned, Colombia is quite a beautiful country, but just coming off finishing your book, Marching Powder, which obviously is also about the drug trade.
Yeah, look, I mean, I absolutely love the culture over there. I was having a lot of fun. You know, I'm not deliberately pursuing these themes that you mentioned in your intro, but they do seem to find me, Tom.
So you mentioned you just mentioned before you began working with the US government's counterterrorism department. What was that like?
It was absolutely amazing. It's the best, most rewarding job I've ever had. It was, you know, there was potential danger. I never got in any actual trouble, but they gave me a bulletproof car, an encrypted radio, the very routes to work. Was working basically on a counterterrorism base, and our job was to train and equip the local SWAT teams to rescue hostages. At the time, there were about 8 or 9 hostages taken per day. So, you know, Colombia was the kidnapped capital of the world. Luckily, it's now relatively safe. The government has signed a peace pact with the insurgents, and it's a wonderful place to visit these days.
So what was probably, that's some pretty scary stuff, I think, for most people to hear. What was probably the most terrifying thing you experienced while working with them?
Well, at the same time as working for the US government, I was going out and interviewing the people who were fighting against. That was for the purposes of this book. So, you know, there were 3 guys who were subcontractors and they were taken hostage by the FARC insurgents. And they were held in the jungle for 7.5 years, chained by the neck, held in barbed wire cages, fed on rice and lentils, and living in daily fear of being executed, or even if there were a rescue attempt, they would have been killed. That's the kidnapper's policy, is to kill the hostages. So going out into the war zones and like saying, "Hi, I'm a little Aussie journalist," and they'll say, "You don't work for the US government, do you?" "No, I've written a book called Marching Powder. Have a look, and here's my passport." So I was sort of taking my life in my hands by doing that. And I wouldn't do that again. I've grown up since then, Tom.
So it's almost like a CV, your previous book. Go, "Oh, look, I'm legit. I'm a journalist." So corruption is or possibly was a serious problem in Colombia. You seem to have pretty good instincts, but was it difficult to discern who to trust?
Yeah, look, I mean, I guess the basic rule is, you know, don't trust anyone. Don't get yourself into a situation where you could be put in danger. So, you know, and basically, it's like anywhere, it just takes a while before you actually trust someone. One of my really good friends was also, when I came to finally tell him years later after, you know, that I'd been working for the US government, he's like, "Well, lucky you didn't tell me at the time because I was working for the insurgents. This is one of my best friends." So you've got to keep your personal life to yourself. I was living with a girlfriend at the time for 3.5 years, and I never told her what I did. So it was more about not giving away what I was doing whilst trying to extract the maximum information from others.
So you were in construction that whole time as well, then?
That's it. Then when my girlfriend said, "Why are we moving house all the time? Why are we driving a bulletproof car?" And I said, "Well, we're in construction."
I'm speaking with international best-selling author Russi Young about his new book, Colombiano. Now, so this is obviously a fiction, but how much of it is based on fact?
Yeah, so I spent 4 years working for the US government, 7 years in total in Colombia, and I interviewed dozens of child soldiers. I interviewed snipers, special forces members, police, priests, teachers, so an entire cross-section of the Colombian community. And I was really enamored of all these stories, but they were all very disparate stories from different parts of the country, taken from different times. So I basically wove all these individual stories into a grander narrative. So the background of the story, the factual setting and the historical setting are all completely accurate, but the storyline of a 15-year-old kid is a, sort of a conglomeration of various stories from various child soldiers who I encountered.
So how common is this a child soldier phenomenon in Colombia?
Yeah, it's interesting, Tom, because when I went over there, I wasn't even aware child soldiers was an issue. When we think of child soldiers, most of us think of Africa and movies like Blood Diamond. Colombia, at the peak of the conflict, actually had the second highest number of child soldiers in the world, I think, after Sudan. And the Human Rights Watch estimated that there were between 11 and 14,000 children involved in the civil conflict.
Now, and obviously through your research, you became involved with a local charity that worked with child soldiers. What was that like?
Yeah, so as I started to do these interviews with these kids, you know, it was very hard to get to interview them whilst they were active because the groups were aware of the international condemnation of child soldiers. So it was really only once the kids had come out of the war, either by virtue of being captured by the government army or by deserting themselves, that I was able to sort of get in contact with them and ask them about their lives. As I was doing so, I saw that the struggle that they were going through in reintegrating into society, it's very difficult coming from a terrorist organization, trying to come back into society. They had very poor educational level, and they'd been traumatized. They'd been through horrific things. They'd witnessed executions, torture, massacres. And then for them to try and, you know, become a normal kid again was really, really difficult. So I really decided to do something about it. And so at the moment, my house in Colombia is the head office of a charity, and I'm donating 10% of my royalties to helping children affected by violence in Colombia.
That's absolutely brilliant. So you mentioned before that Colombia is a relatively safe place now to visit. Are you hopeful for that ongoing stability there?
Yeah, I mean, it's an optimistic time. You have to be hopeful. You know, the Colombian president, Juan Manuel Santos, was recently awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. That's a fantastic... It finally puts Colombia on the map for a good reason. You know, obviously, the big problem is this, that, you know, a large part of the war in Colombia has been fueled by Western demand for cocaine. That was the case for Pablo Escobar's Medellin cartel. It's been the case ever since for the FARC and the paramilitaries. And, you know, whilst these groups have now been taken down or have demobilized and signed peace treaties, the demand for cocaine is there, it's illegal, and so there will always be armed conflict around the drug trade.
Thanks so much for joining us, Rusty.
Tom, thank you. Great questions. I love the interview.
Brilliant. Author Rusty Young speaking about his latest book, Colombiana. Rusty will be speaking this Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the Mitcham Library and at 6:45 p.m. at UniSA West Campus.